All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is May the 21st, 2026. It's Thursday. A beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. We are sort of winding down a heat wave that we've had for a few days. It's supposed to be a cool down. Of course, this is Memorial Day weekend coming up. It is Thursday. Tomorrow will be Friday. Not busy. This is the time of year where no one really likes to book appointments on Friday. We live in such a traffic-influenced area. Like, Fridays are a shit show with traffic, so nobody likes to book appointments. I might even, I have thought about this before, is maybe I can not work on Fridays and maybe work on Wednesdays or pick a different day that's more suitable, because I just am not very busy on Friday and I probably won't be for a while, at least through the 4th of July. But whatever. I'm also, secretly, I don't care. I sort of secretly don't really want to work that much. It's not a new demon, but, especially the demon shows up on days where it's just, I got 100 justified reasons why I don't have to work, right? Because of the traffic, because of the holidays. But whatever, we'll work on that next week. You can only work on so many things. But yeah, it is Thursday, beautiful day. Got up this morning. It was supposed to, we were supposed to get big thunderstorms yesterday. We're supposed to have a terrible weekend of cold weather and rain. But yesterday we were told that we were going to have terrible thunderstorms last night, batten down the hatches. We've been going through sort of a heat period, so a lot of grass is burned up around here. I think a lot of people are like, okay, it's supposed to rain on Wednesday, so I'm just going to wait. I sort of went through that with my father's house. But you know what happened? Nothing. We didn't get any rain last night, which is sad for the people that were sort of counting on it. But what it really says is that who knows what this weekend's going to be like, right? We live, I live in a summer community, beach community. And when the summer and spring and everything that has to do with summer starts, actually, we become a year-round town, honestly. When I first moved here, it was very summery influenced, but we're busy here all year. But definitely busier in the summer. And so Memorial Day is a big deal. Memorial Day always reminds me of Jaws. I forget if it was Memorial Day weekend. It must have been Memorial Day. We're kicking off the summer. And that's sort of how where I live is. But a lot of the times, right, we get these crummy weekends, and a lot of people have been talking about it. And so I guess to make a long story short, you never know what's going to happen this weekend with the weather, because like I said, we did not get that thunderstorm. Which it's, it's good. It's another reason, right, to stay in the day. I thought I would come upstairs. I have, I've been enjoying everything that's been going on. Life's been good. Went to a meeting yesterday, and a lady celebrated 22 years. And it was a great meeting, talking about personality and, the shift in personality, the personality change. Changing everything. And, one of the things that I've been, I guess, I don't know, I might have talked about it, I think about my story as a guy that lived in California that was drinking, even back when I lived in New Mexico, drinking, exploring, the partying, the weekend, the Fridays, the Saturdays, always kind of smoking weed. And then starting to find like meth, and then going to California, and then really jumping into the drugs and alcohol, and it's just been, to think of that guy, right, and then to think of him to one day become actually sober, right, and then to eventually have, a career, and then have a wife and have children. I never can understand how that guy back there would ever be the guy that's here today. But clearly, one day at a time, whether it's going up or down. But I remember when we first had our first child, and I thought, man, this is difficult. And you know, really was an inconvenience. It was really an inconvenience. It wasn't difficult. The baby was not heavy, right? I had gas money. We had to do whatever we needed, we had. The hard part was the inconvenience. And over time and the years and, you know, it's first it's diapers or whatever it is, you know, you're like, oh my God, this is so inconvenient. And then you deal with it and right. And then it becomes a thing and then it sort of fades out. And then you end up with, you know, young adult kids. And, you know, one of the toughest things, cause I'm like, well, great, man, this kid, my son turns 18, whatever. He's going to be on his own. He's going to have to figure it out. But, you know, it just hasn't worked out like that. And as great as my son is, but man, you know, he's going through a lot of new experiences, right? Especially in the atmosphere in the world that we live in, he's becoming, you know, he's pointing out the unfairness in some things. And so just when I thought that, you know, life was going to get easier, right? I'm dealt with a new set of challenges, which I'm grateful for and recovery helped me with. But it's hard to sometimes just to keep my mouth shut, right? Yeah, sticks. This is many facets of this right here is kind of funny because, you know, I remember taking my oldest son to go see 21 Pilots, his favorite band, right? All over the planet, we traveled to see this band. You know, me just trying to be recognized as an amazing father, right? And all the things that I would do and taking him to see his favorite band and then, you know, just recently asking him if he's still listening to the 21 Pilots. He's like, nah, I don't like them anymore. And I was like, what? How can you not liking them anymore? Because this band right here, Styx, was one of my very first favorite bands. And however many years it's been, I still love Styx and I love that song. And but, you know, it reminds me, I have, when I say, you know, recovery is helping me because I really have to learn how to just keep my mouth shut in certain situations. You know, my middle son yesterday told me, he goes, you know, I don't want you to give up on David. And I go, and I just said, I was like in awe, right, that he was actually saying that to me. He's like, you know, I think he's just going through some things and, you know, but don't give up on him. And I'm like, bro, thank you. Thank you. Because, one, I would never give up on my kids. But it really just reminded me that, you know, my other son, Sam, is, you know, he is growing up and he's paying attention. He is 15 years old, and his generation, his group friend, his friends, at least for my kid, there are a lot of gaming, you know, school and gaming seems to be school, gaming and eating. It seems to be the things. And listen, if your kid's out playing 50 sports, good for you. That's not my kid. He plays basketball when it's basketball season, and the rest of the year he does gaming and whatever I make him. Lift weights, we work out. He's, you know, he's doing okay. But his world's different. The times have changed. But, you know, I think about as I was a kid, and I'm going to talk really about mental health and medication, because I just listened to this great podcast. And if you are, if you're into it, the podcast is, and it's new. And it's called the Secretary Kennedy Podcast. I love RFK Jr. I think he's an angel. And if you don't love him, that's fine. But I love him. I think he's so fucking awesome. And he started a new podcast called the Secretary Kennedy Podcast. And he had this Laura Delano on. Delano. I don't know. Check it out. It's really good. But it talks about medication. And I think, you know, I went for a run this morning and I listened to the podcast. And it reminded me a lot of my journey, right? Because I was, you know, my brother and I were both adopted. And so we already had, I think in my parents' eyes, already challenges. And so any time a problem came up, you know, we had to see a psychologist. I might have been a psychiatrist. I don't even know. But we had group meetings, family meetings, individual meetings. I was like, and I hated it. I hated that shit. I'm like, why are we doing this? You know, and I was probably 15, right? I was going through my thing, and but it was a real issue. And, you know, and looking back on it, it was really all based around hating school and smoking weed,
right?
I couldn't stop smoking weed, and I couldn't stop ditching school, and so that was a mental health issue. Maybe, I don't know. Very selfish, for sure. But that would be the beginning of my youth, right? A lot of therapy, drug testing. I've shared before, my dad was very, very tough on us. I'm not mad about that, because I know as a parent, it's you just want to figure out a plan, and you only think the worst, or I only think the worst, and I'm, you know, I don't want to see that. So I don't fault my father or mother, but that was the way our life was, man. It was all therapy and this and that, but no medication. I was never put on medication. I would probably classify as having ADHD now. In fact, that was always my issue. I could not focus. I was not. And listen, it's not that I had a defect in focusing. I didn't care. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, right, if I'm going to be true to what was going on, I didn't care about school. What I would rather do would be hang out with my girlfriend, skip school, and try to find pot. That's what I like doing. At that time in my life, for some reason, that sort of fit, and that's what I liked. And anything other than that was depressing. It brought me anxiety, and it made me pissed. And that would be the battle, right? And I would be grounded and drug testing and, you know, breaking up. And it was just a real teenage disaster. But I was never medicated. And then finally, you know, going through all that, graduating somehow, and then getting out on my own and really diving into the alcohol and the partying and stuff, but just having fun. I mean, I don't particularly think my story is unique. I think every teenage 18 to 21 year old kid is out there 17, 18 out there having fun, whatever. But you know, the battle would continue, and you know, in fact, once my parents moved to San Diego and then me eventually following them, because my life really becoming a disaster because of the drugs and alcohol and the not caring, right? I have a disease of I don't care more than I have a disease of drinking and drugging. And but that, you know, that sort of style, lifestyle, you know, ended up having me move back to California and moving back in with my parents. And that's where the battle would continue, right? It was always my house, my rules. And I was like, your house, my rules. And that's, and of course, carrying the drugs and the drinking over into San Diego and then really finding the speed, staying up all night, doing a lot of weird shit. My parents kind of like having had enough, finally battling it out with my parents and being sent to a rehab and then finally being put onto medication. One of them was Trazodone. I remember going into a facility and being given medication. And Trazodone was one of them. And Trazodone was, I think, to help me sleep. And so I would take it at night, and it would help me sleep. And but they would put me on a whole bunch of medications back in those days. And I just never took them because I wasn't responsible enough to fill the prescriptions and all that stuff. I would take the Trazodone because it helped me sleep. And at the time, I was struggling with speed, and so it was, you know, it was a battle. Up, down, up, down. And then, you know, of course, finally, you know, getting busted and going to jail and then ending up back in Delaware, or actually ending up in Delaware for the first time and focusing all of my energy, all of the things that I've learned into finally just drinking because why? It's legal. I'd had enough trouble with the law. I'd had enough trouble with jail. I wanted to live on the straight and narrow, but it involved vodka. And I'm like, well, listen, vodka's legal. I can drink it. It's not a big deal. And that's what I focused all my energy on. And that is when really the sadness and shit started to sink in because that's when the separation from everybody else started to happen. And I became just a person that drank by himself and became very depressed. But, you know, today, you know, I know that that's a spiritual malady in my life. It is, it's all devil. And really completely uneducated, unaware of any of this and becoming used to this sadness. And I remember going to see my doctor and I said, you know, I'm sad. You know, I'm not feeling well. And he said, well, how much do you drink? And I said, well, I have a couple beers, you know, a couple days a week. I lied, right? I was drinking a bottle of vodka every day. And he said, well, why don't we try putting you on some Prozac or something? It was one of those. And I can remember when that word showed up into in my circles, Prozac, whatever, all those, you know, little things they started making out there. And I was like, sure, let's try it. I was willing. In fact, it was my idea to go see the doctor to see if I could be put on a medication to help me feel better. And it didn't. It didn't make me feel better because I was a drunk and I was living in a life of self, which is just complete, you know, full of expectation, absolutely full of disappointment and hopelessness and not fair, being a victim, all of this stuff. And eventually, you know, and I remember asking my doctor, can you get Trazodone? Because I think it'll help me sleep. And he did. And he goes, but this is a dirty drug. This is just a gross drug. And I was like, give it to me. And I would take it, and I would wake up with such a headache in the morning. And my life was just spiraling down. And then, of course, obviously getting into a fight and finding recovery. And then, you know, yada, yada, fast forwarding to today, where I see life... And that was one of the things in that meeting that lady was talking about changing personality. I didn't have a personality until getting sober. In fact, I told the lady, I said, I may not have even had a personality maybe up until just a couple years ago. And I don't even know if I have one yet. But I definitely did not have a life, right? I lived a life of bad choices, bad luck, excuses, blame, no peace, no love, no free of fear, no God, all self, all me, all I. And it was horrible. And today, you know, fast forwarding and having worked in this program and understanding, because I take no medication today. I'm not on anything. And if I went, I probably could be on something. Probably for cholesterol. I'm sure they would try to get me on a cholesterol or something. But I, you know, I exercise. I try to eat right, and I'm just living my best life. And what can I do, right? I'm not drinking. I'm not drugging. You know, I get plenty of rest. I go to a lot of meetings. I went for a run. I had some breakfast. I made some birria taco meat with cow that we bought. Fresh eggs, a little bit of cheese, green tea and honey. I mean, what fucking else can you do, right? That's not effort. Everything I ate and drank this morning is absolutely what I love. And, you know, it's funny. I decided about a week ago. No, I shouldn't say that. I decided probably 2 weeks ago that I was going to start having a Diet Coke. I like Diet Coke every once in a while. Every once in a while I have one. I'm like, that ain't bad. You know, it's kind of fucking weird taste, but, you know, I'm an addict, so I sort of like that weirdness. Anybody could like the weirdness. You don't have to be an addict, but something about Diet Coke. I like, you know, it tastes weird, and I sort of like it. So I said, well, I'm just going to start, because I think this went back to when I was going to stop drinking coffee. So I was like, well, let me just have a Diet Coke so I can have some caffeine. And so I was having one, and I bought some Coke Zero, and I was having maybe one Coke a day or maybe two Diet Cokes a day. And I started to get indigestion. I started to get acid reflux. I started to be getting very phlegmy. And I was blaming it on allergies and yada, yada. And I finally said, I think it's the Coke. I think it's the Diet Coke. And if you like Diet Coke, you know, calm down. But for me, right, I stopped drinking it. And the acid reflux went away, and so did the indigestion. And so I haven't had any more Diet Coke or Coke Zero, and I'm not planning on it because I see that it was affecting me. It wasn't making me feel good. I was feeling crummy. And because I was like, maybe I need to take a, you know, a Prilosec or something, right? Something for this indigestion. Why am I getting indigestion? Maybe I need to take Tums. And I don't want to take that. And it turns out it was the Diet Coke. I mean, I'm assuming because I quit and I don't have the indigestion anymore. And so, you know, I guess if you're a person that struggles with medication, I know for me, I looked at medication as like, oh, a badge of honor almost. Like, look at me, I'm on a medication, right? I always wanted a cast, I wanted braces, and I wanted to be on medication. It just seemed like this kind of responsible adult thing. And luckily, I didn't follow up with it, right? I don't take anything today. And I heard, you know, I remember someone saying, oh, ADHD, it's like you can't focus. And I'm like, well, that's me. And they go, they have a medication. It's called, I don't even know what it's called, but there's a medication for it. It turns out that medication is just like meth. And I was like, and there was a part of me that's like, could I take that legally? Right? Because I did like me some meth. Actually, I liked all of the energy. I didn't love the drama that came along with it, but, you know, there was a lot of energy. And I'm like, could I take this Adderall? I guess that's what it's called. And I considered it, and then I was like, no, I can't do that. What are you doing? This is in sobriety, right? But I'm, you know, that disease is like, could you take that and do meth and get away with it because it's prescribed? Oh, man. So anyway, recovery has freed me from, obviously, the alcohol, and it's freed me from the drugs, and it's given me the you know, the ability to really look at things, look at them all the way through, try to figure out what part I'm playing, what part the spirituality side of me, the devil's playing, and, you know, and just be really grateful. And, you know, my middle son said he took, you know, he was having trouble sleeping, so his mom gave him a melatonin. And I'm like, I don't want you taking melatonin. I don't want you taking anything. If you can't sleep, then you're staying up. You're sleeping too long, or you're doing something. There's something you're doing that's affecting your sleep, and I want you to address that instead of taking melatonin, because I don't want the melatonin to not be enough one day, right? That's what happened with the Ambien. I've shared about the Ambien adventure. My doctor said, if you take a half an Ambien, you'll sleep like a baby. By the time that was over, I was taking almost 3 Ambien a night, and my soul was gone. And this is in recovery. you know, I would look out the window with zero hope. And it just ate away my spirituality, and it was just a mess. And then finally, when my middle son was born, I said, I can't do this anymore, and I quit. I went cold turkey. And today, you know, if I don't sleep, I just lay there. I keep telling myself, if you're laying, you're resting. If you're resting, you're resting. And it used to be so dramatic, the thought, oh, no Ambien, how am I going to sleep tonight? Oh, and I don't have that today. I'm like, you know, I go to bed, I lay there. If I don't fall asleep, I just flop around, get up, walk around, lay back down. Eventually, I end up waking up in the morning and I feel pretty good. And I'm okay with that. But I've learned all that through recovery, right? There is, for me, right, there is nothing out there that's going to fix what's going on in here. And I heard that from RFK. RFK is, he changed my life as far as the spiritual route goes, you know, the spiritual malady. my spirituality was never completed because I started to use self-serving drugs and alcohol. You know, that the humility in my life never completed the spirituality circle, the ring of life. And so I just really was lost. And today through the recovery and the 12 steps, you know, I understand that today and I work on it. And I'm really grateful for that. All right, let's read the daily reflections and then I'm going to go to work. Not working long today either. It's, I don't know. Let's see. All right. A list of blessings, right? One exercise that I practice is to try for a full inventory of my blessings. All right. As Bill sees at page 37. What did I have to be grateful for? I shut myself up and started listening the blessings for which I was in no way responsible. Beginning with having been born of sound mind and body, I went through 74 years of living right up to the present moment. The list ran 2 pages deep and took 2 hours to compile. I included health, family, money, AA, the whole gamut. Every day in my prayers, I asked God to help me remember my list and to be grateful for it throughout the day. When I remember my gratitude list, it's very hard to conclude that God is picking on me. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, thanks for letting me share. I'm just, you know, I guess sort of wrap that one up. It's, you know, recovery's helping me handle watching my young son, who's a young man now, go through his thing and to try to still be there for him. Regardless, my middle son's like, don't give up on our older boy, Big Davey. And I'm like, I will never. And I talked to him today, and thank you, because I know, you know, you are paying attention. And when it comes to medication, listen to that podcast. Because I know that a lot of people, we're waking up, people. We are starting to wake up. I feel like there's going to be a renaissance. There's going to be another baby boom. I feel like this woke DEI bullshit that this, you know, this whatever has been pushing on us is coming to an end, and we want to start, you know, striving to be better, working hard, showing up, pushing through tough times. And to me, that is fantastic, because I'm, oh shit, I'm on the wrong thing. I'm very hopeful. I think we're going to come out of this. So, hey, thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you later. Bye. Yeah.